This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Lulu and Michael podcast for all the bits you missed
from Joy 94.9.
Well,
I'm pretty well.
Yeah, you look well.
Thank you.
Yes, big smile on your dial.
I have got a big smile. I've also got a bit of a blurry eye.
Oh, really?
Because I've broken my glasses. Have you not noticed? I haven't been wearing them.
Well, I just thought you were trying something new. Like not looking.
Yes. Well, I can see. Yeah. I get a little bit of a headache. So I've had a headache for about a week.
Right.
Nice, hey?
Yes.
I've ordered some new ones and they're on their way.
Nice. Where are they coming from?
I think America. I did the online thing.
I knew they'd be somewhere overseas.
Yes, so look
out for me. We're getting winded up already.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You're on Joy. Gaga.
Oh, shut up, Gaga.
Oh, she's rocking out there.
No, she's just whinging.
Oh, I like that one. You don't like
it,
do you?
She just carries on a bit.
Oh, well, that's the way the music
is nowadays.
From the
moment it starts, she's on and on.
Well, this is no illusion. We've got guests in, haven't we, Lulu?
We sure have.
Are you ready?
I am.
I'm ready. And they are in We Will Rock You. Oh, it is Fern Reynolds and Jazz Flowers. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Well, isn't it... you're on nearly, is it nearly every night of the week? I mean, we're lucky to get you in, aren't we?
Oh, our schedule's busy from time to time. We can always make time for you.
And is it going well? Are you loving it?
Yeah, it's the job of my life. I'm not going to lie. I love it.
Yeah. I watched you both in it and you look like you're bloody well loving it. You know?
Yeah,
and
we do. But we love each other, you see.
Right. Well, that goes
that's
a long way,
doesn't
that
it? Is the magic secret.
Theatre.
That helps.
But no, it's one of those ones that's energy from the beginning to the end, isn't it? And I mean, you know, that's not easy when you're doing that however many gigs a week. Of course, that's the job and we get that. But you've got to love it. And I guess the music in it is what really makes you love it, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. The Queen has got to be one of the best bands of all time. And to be able to sing their music every night and have the audiences on their feet reacting the way they do, it's pretty incredible. But, you know, they give to us and we give it back. So,
and when we go and watch a musical, we know, you know, if it's one of those ones that's been on for 100 years or so, it was My Fair Lady, which I watched and I loved. And I knew them, but, you know,
were
I'm not
you on
generally,
your feet clapping and
not
cheering?
Not as much,
though?
Because I was probably the only one in the audience that was able to stand on their feet. But, you know, you love it, but there's something a little bit more about,
well, it was,
you know,
designed,
this is rock, isn't it?
It was designed to be a rock concert experience. I don't think it was designed with the same formula as the as a regular musical like My Fair Lady.
No, you're right. Yes. It's a different street where you live.
It certainly is.
What is it about? What is We Will Rock You about? Just brief
We Will Rock You is about... it's set 300 years in the future. It's a dystopian world. Basically, there's a villain called the Killer Queen who was once a character in a computer game.
Yep.
She has downloaded herself into real time and basically taken over the world and rid the world of all live music.
And that is played by...
Casey Donovan.
And yes!
What a voice.
Smashing. She's incredible.
You know, I mean...
We love her.
I reckon... Yeah, she's amazing. And those eyes, I get a bit worried every now and again.
No, it's the tongue.
It's all the tongue. It may be all of the above.
I haven't seen this.
She is mildly terrifying in the best way.
Because she looks like the eyes could just swallow
pop
you.
Pop out of her head.
Yeah.
Is the tongue
she
real?
She works really,
yes,
really hard.
Okay. Yes,
like,
it
and
is.
She's on from the, you know, the second she's out there, she's every bit the Killer Queen.
Mm.
She's smashing. We do love her.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, I mean, this didn't open in Melbourne, did it? It was Melbourne's number.
No, Sydney first, then Brisbane, and now we're here.
And you've been doing all of that, and you would imagine those, belting them out like that, you'd have to worry about your voices. No problem.
Yeah, look, it's you gain show fitness over time. It's difficult at the start. Like, I remember during rehearsals we were all a bit touch and go, and you had your days where you had to take it easy and whatever. But as time goes on, you just, you know, it's like any other muscle in the body. You just learn to use it. And
what are they?
Your vocal cords.
Muscles.
Muscles, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't know about those.
Haven't got those.
All going on in there.
Nah.
But, yeah, you just learn to use them and learn how to take care of them. And that's what you got to do to get on stage 8 shows a week.
Yeah, well, and it's obviously working. And this is running right now till the end of this month.
It is.
Yeah, so not 3 more weeks left. Is it 21 shows
right, wow.
left?
Not just roughly.
Yeah, well,
you haven't been counting them.
No, well, it's easy to multiply 7 by 3, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed.
It is for some. I'm not so good with the math.
They're very good.
That makes 2 of them.
All right. And
it's on at the Regent.
Correct.
Yes. What a venue for it as well. I mean,
oh,
you know,
it's gorgeous. Yeah. I love the Regent. I did my one of my first shows there a million years ago, and it's really nice to be back there. It's a gorgeous theatre.
Too many stairs, though, backstage.
Oh.
We've all got buns of steel.
Really?
Because you're just up and down stairs. It's a cracker. Huh?
Show the group. All righty.
Please don't tempt him because he will drop trow.
Lulu and Michael on Joy and 94.9 with you for ages. And don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just listen in and enjoy it.
Wow, Michael, that's very sort of demanding.
Well, no, that's what I'd like, you know?
Yeah.
If I ruled the world. Mm. You know, that's what I'd like. And what we'd really like is a message. If you're out there and you want to, you know, you think, oh, God, I don't mind getting involved in that.
Yeah, let us know, because sometimes we sit here and we're talking and we're chatting and whatever else, and we wonder,
is there anyone out there?
Is there anyone there?
It's like the X-Files.
It's like, you know, the power went off.
Yeah. And we just don't know.
And is everyone sitting at home in darkness with no radios?
Oh.
And we're just talking to ourselves.
Yeah, you might have a battery.
And Paul, who's just fiddling with buttons, not even listening.
What about the man that broke his willy? Did you read about this?
What the what?
I know. An adventurous lover was rushed to hospital after breaking his penis. By attempting a daring new tantric sex position.
See, that's lucky you read that, because I read that as Titanic.
No.
And I thought, was he going down?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good, but
it's
that's
good,
not what
but
happened.
That's not what happened.
No.
And then I thought, what is that position?
Well, I don't know what the actual one was, but it was something new and daring.
Well, that makes more sense with tantric than Titanic.
Well, Sting is into that, isn't he? He's into tantric.
See, I thought, why does it sting? Okay, you read it, because I'm not sure. It's been so long, I don't know what the hell's going on. Well, go on, you keep reading.
I've never done a tantric either.
Okay,
I don't know what it is. But it shocked doctors in a hospital in Ho Chi Minh City, which is just past Richmond.
Right.
While he was enjoying an energetic romping session with his girlfriend, the 59-year-old reportedly heard a crack. Not hers.
It wasn't sore.
Hers didn't make a noise. His
Leave
did.
My pussy alone.
He didn't see the crack.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. And doctors reported that the organ was swollen.
Why was there an organ?
Funny about that.
And that organ. Yeah. Sorry, right.
And
back
bruised
on track.
And broken at the joint.
Ow!
Oh, that would have been painful. He was rushed into surgery where a crack team of doctors...
A special team for cracks.
Headed by Dr. Dung. It is true.
No.
Worked tirelessly to stitch his penis back together. Halakazoo. Put it together and watch it.
A stitching time saves 9.
The man is now back to his old ways and's got a new girlfriend.
Because she just could not cope with that.
The other one, no. You broke it, you paid for it.
The latest craze around the world and Melbourne are clowns.
Police in the UK are on high alert as the bizarre clown craze spreads even further.
They used to be friendly looking things. Now they're just creepy. There is one clown we definitely want to get rid of, though.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Lulu and Michael, always with a happy face. Every Wednesday afternoon.
Clowns!
Joy 94.9.
I don't think clowns were ever friendly.
I do. I don't mind them. They don't really bother me, but I don't think I'd want one running at me in the street.
With a machete. That's
no,
the problem.
Not, that would never be all right.
It's the thing is, right, that they're not just everywhere. They're coming out with big knives.
That's wrong.
Mm.
And not a good idea, because someone's going to get them.
Well, that's the thing that I'm finding quite amusing at the moment, is the fact that they've got these menacing clowns. That's not amusing. Mm. That's quite stupid. But then you see the guys that they're menacing going, oh, what is bloody clown doing? I'm going to get him. And then just goes over and pushes him over.
Him up. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's, you know. Well, what do you expect?
Yes.
Stupid clown.
And you know what's happened in the meantime? The one of the most well-known ones that works with the Golden Arches.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
They're arresting him at the moment.
Why?
Because everybody's against clowns.
Well, so he's
not
just
making any more public appearances.
Well, there'd be a few, wouldn't there, that are like known clowns that can't even just go out and get a burger or just go to the movies.
You mean like innocent clowns?
Yeah, like Krusty.
Krusty, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not real.
Ronald.
Though, you know. Ronald is resting. Ronald is not being allowed out. This is true. Mm. It was on the bloody news.
Well, everything's true on the news.
Well, you know, mainly true. And he's not been doing any more. He's going to be rested, but he'll obviously come back. I mean, they're not going to lose him forever, are they? But until the epidemic is over, he's resting.
I don't get it, though, right? Because they've got a Facebook page called the Melbourne Clown Association, and it's posting the locations where the clowns are going every day. Warning people, we're going to be in like Flemington, Ringwood, Port Melbourne, Hawthorne.
Stay away from the area.
Stay away.
Like, or go there.
Or I go guess there or whatever. You know. But why would you tell everyone where you're going to be? Like, if you're that menacing.
Yeah.
And you're going to scare people, just pop up.
Yeah, like a pop-up clown shop.
What if someone's just happens to be dressed as a clown going to a party?
You look great, Lulu, by the way. Have a guest in, don't we, Lulu?
We sure do, Michael.
We do, because Victor and Rolf is just about to open at the NGV on October 21. And the man who's really going to let us know all about it, he's joining us now. And I'm all right with a foreign language.
It's you
like
sure
a,
are.
It's second nature to me now. It is, ladies and gentlemen, Thierry Maxime Royal. Welcome.
Bravo.
I think the quicker I tried to say it, the more comfortable I felt.
Say it again, please.
No, I feel all girly.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't ever feel. Yeah, I do a lot. Now, whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Quebec City, but I live in Montreal technically, but I'm all over the planet doing different projects. I've worked with the NGV before on the Jean-Paul Gaultier exhibition.
Which, I mean, my word, that was just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I didn't do the clothes, though.
No.
he might have done those,
There's more to an exhibition than just what you're ultimately, I mean, it's what you're looking at, but it's everything around it as well, as you would know then, as the man has to put it all together. If, say, for instance, Jean-Paul Gaultier makes all the outfits, you've got to display them so that we can look at them in an artistic and interesting way.
Yeah, it's really, you know, a lot of people ask me what it is curating exhibition, because people don't know even what a curator is in general. And it's really about storytelling. It's about, you know, proposing an idea to visitors and presenting the work of an artist in a way that they can understand the story or the way you want to present it. So.
Yeah, well, with Victor and Rolf then, I mean, that you brought in a book, which is literally, I mean, it's just amazing. It's one of those books that's
it got is.
So much to look at visually. And you, I mean, where is all of this? Where around the world, I would imagine?
To find, you know, from all the loans, it's quite exceptional, I must say, what you're going to see at the NGV, because, you know, it's really a unique opportunity to have access to these pieces. You know, I think it's easier to see a Picasso in a museum than to see a piece of haute couture from Victor and Rolf.
Yes.
So it's really unique, and it's the first time that it's presented in Australia, and I think in that region anyway. And so there's loans coming from all over the planet.
Do they own a lot of, you know, do they own
many, many pieces, but I would say half of it comes from different museum collections.
Because everybody's bought it, I guess. That's one of the reasons that they do it, obviously. Yeah.
And it's unique pieces. It's really artworks. And same thing for the exhibition catalog. You know, all the images, they come from everywhere, from different photographers, from, you know, icons like Cindy Sherman and David LaChapelle and Nick Knight. But
do you ring them up?
Yes.
Is that what you do?
Yes. Yeah.
Here, listen, we're having an exhibition in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, you know, I know you've got this. I know you bought this. We would love to.
Yeah.
And I guess the majority of people go, Why not? Absolutely.
But I think it helps because the fact that it's at DNGV and that it's in Melbourne, because I think many people underestimate Melbourne, the people from Melbourne, but I think you're...
We've got a good culture thing going over here.
You have a fantastic culture thing. And NGV, it's such a... With the help of Tony Elwood, it's such a visionary museum. And it's, you know, their collection is super impressive. When you see the costume collection they have and all the exhibition, all the avant-garde they bring to the culture scene in Melbourne, it's... incredible.
It's one that's... Sorry.
Does something like this take a lot of time? Like, is it over a few years or do you just decide to do it and you have to do it in a certain, like, you know, a few months? Or how long does it take?
Well, usually it takes, I would say, to make a project like this happen, it takes about around 2 to 3 years to make the selection, find the works, make the loan request, and find the images. And, you know, if you really want, mostly if you work with a living artist, because, you know, they have other things to do than wait for you to work on the exhibition. So a lot of people are involved. You know, it's not only me. You know, there's a big team also behind me that helps me make the magic happen.
You made it sound like you did it all on your own.
Yeah.
No. To be honest, that's the way you've made it sound.
No, it's not only me.
And when that means then, if you're ringing me up and saying, hey, listen, can I borrow a bit of your Victor and Rolf? Then you're borrowing it for ages. You're not just, it's not like a short loan, is it?
It's not for ages.
Well, it's taking a while. I mean, what? Like, how long have, when you rang them up, you know, it's going to be like at least a year then, isn't it?
Let's say that everything was packed in August. It just arrived in the past few weeks. And then it's on view until February. So, yes, a couple of months.
Well, but at least,
if they had a big ball to go to and they wanted to wear it, they have to work out if they need it in that time.
Yeah. Or you can borrow it to the NGV and, you know,
in what way, try it. In what way would you describe their artwork?
I think the only word that comes to my mind is unique because, you know, Victor and Rolf, they're fashion designers, but they're also artists. So that's why the exhibition is called Fashion Artists, because they really cross the boundaries between art and fashion, and nobody else did it the way they did, because it's not fashion designers that are inspired by fashion. You know, they really work reference-free. It's really about creativity and about doing something that has never been seen or done before. And every season, they always impress everyone with their new ideas and the way they propose something fresh and new.
Yeah, and you've got a just in conversation with.
That's
going to be pretty amazing. Obviously, you know them both well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And what will you be asking?
But in fact, you know, it's to spend time with. I think it's quite nice that they come all the way down to Melbourne for the opening events, and it's really a one-on-one experience also for people who will come to the In Conversation to have a chance to meet them and to listen to them and to hear what they have to say, because they're quite you know, they have a lot of history in fashion and with what they do. And I think it's very important for a young generation to be able to hear people like Victor and Rolf, who come from a small town in the Netherlands and have been able to live their dream and create fashion and become
even
international
now,
superstar.
Reinvent.
There'll be every art student in Melbourne already buying tickets right there.
I hope so, because even at the end, people are allowed to ask questions. I'm going to pick questions from the public.
And you're right, but it wouldn't just be a younger generation.
No, it'll be everyone from...
You know, the gamut of generations, isn't it?
No. But I mean, for a young generation, it's very inspiring to know that even if you're from a remote city, from wherever around the planet, you can
be successful. That's not going to come around very often, that's for sure.
No. Well, we're glad that you can make it in today. And the NGV is where it's all going on as of Friday, October 21. And, well, enjoy the rest of your time in Melbourne and enjoy the opening and everything.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we just had a guest in, and we've just decided he's a cross between Aaron Eckhart and Alexander Sarsgaard. Not a bad cross.
No, real
and
good
cross. And he's French.
Yeah.
Hence why you took
Canadian.
Over.
French-Canadian.
Hence why you took over and flirted all the way through it. I couldn't get a word in.
I did wonder. Well, he was one of those people that got out very, very quickly that he had a boyfriend or a partner, you know.
Yeah.
Mind you, I did, because I joked about him being married with a wife and two children. He goes, no, I have a partner. So it wasn't that he was saying, back off, Queenie. But, you know, inadvertently, yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, looks aren't everything, but when you've got them, Jesus. He was good looking, wasn't he?
He was good looking.
And very intelligent and great job, obviously. Travels around the world.
Yeah.
I looked through his little book.
You know, I was going to say, what did you look through?
The Victor and Rolf
bag.
Book. No, no. I luckily had time to search his underwear drawer.
Yes.
And, oh, my Lord. No, it, in the book, and he knows Rufus Wayne. I must know lots of lovely people. I mean, you know.
That's not everything either, but
it
helpful.
Isn't. It really isn't. So he said, well, you must ask Rufus to come in and have an interview. I said, well, I don't know Rufus Wainwright. Do you think
What's
you
What's your email?
Here, write it down here on my underpants. But very good looking.
Actually, I might wash my underpants. Write it on my bottom.
I wouldn't.
Joy 94.9. Yeah. I'm still laughing at you, Michael.
No, I'm laughing at you. I always will.
Really?
Yes, of course.
With me or at me?
Does it matter?
Yes, there's a difference.
It does not. I know there is a difference, but we've done both. I've known you since you were a little girl.
I still am.
12 or something you must have been. Even younger, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, part, did you read this? There's weird things that people have done on an aeroplane.
Well, I've got a story.
What have you done? And I'd rather listen to yours.
Well, mine's not what I've done. It's what some people behind me did.
Have you ever joined the Mile High Club?
No.
I haven't either.
I wish I had.
Knocking one out doesn't count, does it?
Well,
probably not.
No.
It's got to be with somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard some people behind me.
Having a big poo doesn't count.
That's knocking one out.
Go on, yeah. What happened? What were they doing?
They came on the flight separately and sat next
what
to each other.
Slut.
Yeah. Both sat next to each other. And she was like Australian, he was Australian. And I heard them meet and it was like, hi, how you going? Yeah, good, thanks. Like really Aussie.
Mm.
And then it was, would you like a drink? Yes, thanks. They had one each. And then they started chatting and they sort of started flirting. And then they started getting quite close and then they started kissing, which I thought was a bit like full on straight away.
Yes.
Fair enough, whatever. And heard her saying, have you got a girlfriend? And he said, yes, which I thought,
right.
Okay, he said yes, but she's still kissing him, whatever.
Mm.
Then she started sort of slurring her words, and I thought, you've only had one drink.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she took something as well.
Retinol.
Yeah. Right. And then she sort of was like starting to talk in an American accent, which was really funny. She's like, how? Because we were going to LA, and she's like, I think you should maybe leave your girlfriend and me with me. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, she's like nuts. Anyway, she fell asleep and then he got up and moved seats, right?
Yeah.
And then she woke up and she's going to the airline hostess, where's my boyfriend? He was sitting right here. He's moved. And the hostess is going, oh, I don't know, you know.
This
obviously,
is like that Jodie Foster movie.
It was
I'm
like
sure
that.
Of it.
Yeah. And he's obviously gone to the hostess, can I move? She's nuts.
Oh, dear.
And then he had to sort of say, she's not my girlfriend. And it was like she was saying to him, no, we're together now. You kissed me, so that's it. And,
oh, God, well, that would mean we'd all have loads of partners, isn't it?
That was all they did, though. But I was sitting in front. I was actually laughing so much I couldn't breathe because I'd heard the whole thing and it wasn't like they'd done anything major.
Well, this makes this woman who refuses to fly on a US airline unless she can bring her pet turkey.
Maybe it was her.
Well, I mean, they're both gobbling. That's not a turkey.
Are you allowed to bring
No,
turkeys?
Small dogs are generally all right, aren't they?
Well, not even.
Yeah,
what,
no,
in the US?
A lot of airlines now allow you to take small dogs, and the US is one place where you're
allowed. Because you're not here, you have to put them underneath.
No, which
otherwise
is good.
Otherwise I would.
You know, because they could attack.
You say that, you know? But they're not.
We've all
they
seen
wouldn't.
That movie, Dogs on a Plane.
No, that was snakes.
Okay. And there's a lot of American stories or stories in general of, you know, bringing apparently one man on a British Airways flight from Heathrow to Dubai, well, they were forced to turn around because someone, they're calling it someone,
yeah,
had a visit to the loo and the smell was so bad the staff couldn't work.
What, he'd done something in the toilet?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
imagine that.
What, that they have to turn around because of his bog?
Because of the smell. It seems a bit
just
stupid.
Just shut the door
it?
And lock no, it.
Shut the door. We'll spray something. God.
Light a match.
Yeah, you can't do that. Open the window. Somebody open the window. It stinks in here.
And Michael, we have a guest.
I love it when we get a guest in.
Are you very excited?
Really? She's a lovely lady.
She is.
Lovely lady.
She's live.
She's alive.
She's
you go for it, Lulu.
She's alive and she's live. It's Celia Piccola.
Good afternoon. I can confirm that I am indeed alive.
Very much.
As a writer.
And you're great guns at the moment, aren't you?
Yes.
Big night.
Busy.
Really big night.
Yep.
Why is it? What's going on?
Well, myself and fellow comedian friend Luke McGregor, we only gone and made a TV show.
What the what?
I know, right? Who would have thunk it? Can you believe it?
And when you went made a TV show, you mean right from the very, very beginning. You're not just in it. You know, you wrote it and everything about it is you two.
Well, it's a team effort. You know, there was also caterers and film crew and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to
say
nothing. I don't take all of the credit, but the idea it was written by Luke and I, and we are starring in it. Yeah. So that is our role. And tonight at 9 p.m. is our first episode going on air, which is so scary. The thought of it going into people's houses.
What
I feel like that's the weirdest thing.
What channel?
Oh, on the ABC. I just always assume that comedy's ABC.
So many
where
channels,
else would you
there's
go?
There's so many channels, and there's all these, you know, other things. There's cables and things, so we have to be
Luke and I, actually, Luke and I are doing it live in a street.
Yes. And you can watch it? Well, that happens these days.
Where was it born then? Where were you and what were you doing that this, you know...
For the idea or where we made it?
Yeah.
Well, Luke and I are both stand-up comics, so we knew each other from that. And then we were both in a show called Utopia, which is also on the ABC, where we spent more time together. And we just, from talking rubbish in between scenes, we realised that we both had a very similar sense of humour and thought, hey, do you want to try and come up with something, work on something together? And that's sort of it. And then we started pitching it to the ABC ideas. And mm-hmm. this was like the maybe fourth idea. So like we had a few, there was a ghost one in there, there was a haunted one. And they're
really?
Like, no. They said, no to the haunted one. I'm like, really?
What the hell?
This is hilarious.
But the best thing is though, when this one's a big hit, you can go back and go, we're going to make
guess
that
what?
Ghost one, guys, whether you like it or not.
I think it was so smart, though. With the like budget we had, it would have been a lot of just bad special effects, I think. Yeah.
Is the area where it is all set, is that Rosehaven then? Is that the area?
So Rosehaven is a fictional town in which it is set, which right. is a title we just plucked from the air, which we're talking about today because we don't know why. We just plucked it. I think it was a placekeeper, and then we just sort of never got around to changing it. But we like that it's a small town
almost
in rural
like
Tasmania.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Maybe it was from the ghost. I don't know. But we just wanted it to be small town. It's fictional small town anyway. But we like that it's called Rosehaven because it keeps us grounded. Like, should it go really well, it'll stop us from setting the second season in, like, Hawaii or LA because it's called Rosehaven. It has to
be
stay
there.
In Tasmania. But it was filmed. But it was all filmed in Tasmania. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of Jeeveston, the Huon Valley, Longley, a bunch of places all sort
nod,
of an hour.
Like
I don't know. I mean, anywhere.
How beautiful.
gorgeous.
Very warm. Sounds really hot.
Oh, my goodness. It was so cold. It was. I think that was another budget thing. Why we were filming in the winter. It does. We had about 13 seconds of light to film in every day.
You know, there is a Rosehaven in Hawaii.
Is there?
Oh, I made that
oh
up.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's full of ghosts.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be back right after this. Evil Lulu.
Talking all things Rosehaven, which is premiering tonight on the ABC.
Yes. And we were mentioning about him being in Tasmania. He's very big in Tasmania, isn't he?
Luke is so famous in Tasmania because he is a Taswegian? I can't remember what they call themselves. Yeah. They make up some kind of name. He's from there and they are so proud of their boys and girls who come from there. So he can't walk down the street, whereas I can very easily walk down the street in Tasmania.
Where's your area?
Oh,
where are you
the Yarra
to
Valley.
Okay.
Well, I can just walk down the street there as well. It's not the same thing.
Wandering through the valley,
area.
I'm all right.
Yeah. Where am I the most? You know, it's probably the business district from Utopia is probably what I'm most well known for. So through that kind of area.
Mind you, with lanyards.
People in businesses wearing lanyards are my people at the moment.
And you've worked in Edinburgh, you've worked in the UK. You've worked all over Australia. So you're sort of well known.
What's it going to take, people? Yeah, unless people see me and just walk the other direction, because no one's coming up.
And are you one of those that is not really bothered by that anyway? I mean, isn't it? Wouldn't you rather just be doing great work?
Oh, yeah. I want to be invisible walking down the street. Yeah. Oh, just also because I'd like to go to the shops without putting mascara on, you know? Like, sometimes I don't want people to see me and go, oh, gosh, off the TV. You know, I don't want that.
Right.
But I'm not trying to. I'm just going to the shop, you know.
Yeah, but now this is going to happen a lot more, isn't it? The more and more you do. When do you do that ghost one? I know.
Well, in the ghost one, I can be maybe at prosthetics. Maybe I can look like someone else.
Yeah.
Well, there goes that budget.
Oh, no.
Now, look, I'm looking at the picture from the Rosehaven, press release.
Oh, yeah.
There's a beautiful dog with lovely underbite.
Snaggle tooth.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Who's that?
Okay, so this is just one of the success stories of the project. This is just pure Hollywood story. This is going in the memoir. Mm. So we were in Tasmania doing the table read, the first time the whole cast was together reading it, having a wonderful time of all 8 episodes. And then we had a break and we just looked out the window. There was a family there with this dog, with this 70-kilogram huge meatball of a dog.
Wow. So cute.
And we went, that dog, we need that dog. And so our producer rent, we stole the dog. The girl was crying. She was doing the little girl was a really good distraction.
You should message her and say your dog's on TV.
Your dog is famous and we will return him maybe.
Yeah.
After we'll see if we get a second series. No, but we went down and asked, they went, excuse me, has your dog ever considered a career in showbiz? And they were like, well, sure. So his name is Harper. He's got his own Facebook page, so he's on the way.
Oh, God.
Like, isn't that amazing? Like,
so
the
cute.
Dog made that one of those Hollywood stories come true. Walking down the street, you, I have to have
love
you.
Love it.
And he's beautiful. And not only does he look perfect, he's such a sweetheart, like a big goofball teddy bear. But, yeah, so we're pretty sure that Harper is the one getting the spin-off series after this.
Have you noticed, though, that most series with dogs are successful?
Really?
We'll look at Frasier.
Oh, Frasier, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only one I can think of.
We'll talk about, do you remember
Lassie
the Bob,
did
Morrissey,
well.
Bob Morrison show? Do you remember that show?
No.
Was it See? Oh, that's a problem.
No dog.
No
he
dog.
Didn't have a dog. And it failed.
Or did it, and that's what you were going to do.
Had a dog.
Oh, yeah, well.
Oh, Neighbours.
Crofts.
Oh, Neighbours.
Crofts does really well. Yeah. It's a big dog show.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you all the best with Rosehaven, because it's on tonight. It starts at 9 p.m. It's on the ABC, and I hope that it goes great guns, because not just because of you and Luke, but because of this dog.
All of you.
I know. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure.
Oh, too kind. Please, sit down. No, everyone sit down.
You've been listening to a Lulu and Michael podcast. Listen live every Wednesday afternoon from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.